إن الحمد لله
والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الأمر يقين. إن شاء الله أن continuation of the series The Muslim Family and how to raise the Muslim family. We are now in the area where what are the guidelines and the major, you may call major lines that they identify the nature of the relationship. How would the relationship between the members within the family, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, is supposed to look like? How the people will treat each other? What is acceptable and what is not acceptable? Okay. Let us from the beginning agree to one concept. And that's a very, very important concept. And that basically, any motion, anything, any activity that you do, that it doesn't have a goal, it is useless. It is nothing more than a wasting energy, wasting credential, and wasting time and wasting resources. So from the minute that you wake up, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala identified you and bless you and give you the life, you're supposed to be very clear about what my goal today. What is my responsibility today toward myself and toward whomever I'm responsible for their affair. So the first thing, the what gonna control the communication of the family is the goal. And the Muslim have only one goal, regardless how that goal is done, is to use the gift of life to qualify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy in the hereafter. I have the life, I use it to qualify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. Nothing else. So if the head of the household or the people in the family, they are aware of that goal. And when I say aware of that goal, I don't mean understand that goal. I mean feel by that goal. They feel it. They feel the blessing of me being able to breathe and healthy, and be able to move and to do a job, and having the sense of responsibility. So, from the beginning, you have to make it clear why I am alive, and every single member in your family must know why he or she is alive, and what they are supposed to do with the gift of life. If you have that, you will gear yourself toward preparing yourself and whomever the head of the household to qualify to Allah's mercy according to the Quran and according to the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. That basically means everything you need to know to do whatever you want to do, it's going to be there. Whatever claim to separate between the religion and between the daily life, it can be justifiable in other philosophy and in other religion. Because if you study their holy or sacred books, Buddhism, Christianity, Judaism, and whatever, you will find a lot of issues we do not have an answer. So when they come and say religion for spiritual development, not for complete life, I can understand what they are talking about. That does not mean I agree with it. But that is, I understand it. But when I hear this statement from a Muslim, that's really what I don't understand. What I read, I just don't understand what is the foundation for it. So preparing yourself and helping the member of your family to qualify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy is the goal. And that's gonna immediately, once you have that clear, your direction will be set in this family. The direction where the family going to be set, because they are one over three. The direction you go and I go is one over three ways, and unfortunately they don't meet. Maybe you can start from the same point, but once you take a road and you go, it's very hard to change. Either you are following ittiba' al-hawa. Ittiba' al-hawa, that means following the convenient. Whatever good for me is right. Whatever bad for me is not right. I don't care if it is lawful or not lawful. It is not good for me, it is not good for me. This is good for me, this is good for me. Forbidden and not forbidden, we can argue hundreds of years. And you are going nowhere. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took so many ayat about al-hawa. أَأَنْتَ تَهْدِي مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Ya Muhammad, don't waste your time with whomever took his hawa as his guidance. Don't worry about him. He is not going to respond to you, Ya Muhammad. Because he's going to see responsibility. He's going to see that he is losing and following you. That's the first category. The second category, reactionist. I am living with a group and I do reaction to what's going on around me. So all the time, the control of my behavior in somebody else's hand, not on my hand. The community telling me what to do and what to not to do. The culture telling me what to do and what to not to do. The traditions and habits telling me what to do and what to not to do. And what are the others telling me what to do? That's the right thing to do. And what are the other people telling me if it's wrong? It is wrong. And that's what you classify under peer pressure or group pressure or social pressure. And the third category is you follow what you know it is right from the Quran and the Sunnah. And from here it comes to the word, that approach, it comes the word Hanif. You know Hanif, what it means? The word Hanif? Hanif means not the one who is following the straight path, but he is the one who resisted and moved from where the others moving to the straight path. When he said all the pressure coming from the society and from community and from the hawa, he said Hanifan. That means, no, I am moving toward the straight path. The action from moving from that pressure to the straight path is called Al-Hanafiyyah. So when he mentioned the Quran, Hanifan wama ana min al-mushrikeen, that mean what? No, I am not going to respond to number one and number two. Who going to teach the children that? Who going to teach your spouse that? Who going to help them to enforce that with you other than you? So Hanifiyyah in that state is what we really all after. The second, unconditional obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to Allah right, there is no such a thing called a small mistake and big mistake. We know there is, when we about evaluate what we are doing, there are kabair and there are not kabair. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is Allah right. When it comes to Allah right, everyone in the family from A to Z know that this is a red line, nobody gonna cross. And how everybody gonna know that this is a red line that no one gonna cross? Very easy. If I see my role model, the adult in my family, the head of the household, do not cross, I am not gonna cross. And they are explaining to me why. They are telling me why. Why I am not crossing? يا بني لن أغني عنك من الله شيئا. لقمان is telling here his son, يا بني لن أغني عنك من الله. لقمان نوح لن أغني عنك من الله شيئا. I cannot defend on you. That type of mentality, that type of boundary, essence of the relationship, it's supposed to exist there. Red line, no one cross Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right. It comes on the top of the list of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right, unconditional obedience to Allah. سمعنا وأطعنا. We hear, we obey. We hear, we obey. It is not we hear and will obey. No, we hear, we obey. Action, reaction. There is nothing in between. That is what constitute and control the relationship between and the member of the family. Allah right would have to be preserved and protected and applied by every single soul living in the household. It comes after that, the respect to the parents. Unfortunately, a lot of people, a lot of parents, they allow their love to their children. Obviously, I consider that one of the forms of abuse to the children. When you allow the children to be not polite with you, to be aggressive with you, to be disrespectful to you, the one who gonna teach the children how to protect and how to preserve and how to honor the parents is gonna be you. You are the one who going to teach them how to do that. Starting from 9 months to 99 years. You have to teach them how to respect you. Why? I may love what I don't respect. I may love what I don't respect. I love clowns, but I don't respect them. But what is the danger? What is the danger coming in here? It is not only the gratitude, and it is not only the showing favorism and recognition to what the parents doing, all of that, but add to it one of the most important. I cannot take you as a role model. I cannot look at you and try to mimic you. When I disrespect you, I am not going to follow your footsteps. What you say, come from east and go to the west. But when I respect you, I will follow you. I will try to be like you. So for the parents to be respectable, they are doing their children one of the best things. Not allow them to use verbal abuse, or when they grow up. When they grow up, physical abuse sometimes. Unfortunately, I have to share this with you. There is a case that I'm dealing with, and it is boggling my mind. It is really boggling my mind. And how sad it is, and I'm how sad in my heart even to remember the case. I have three brothers, and I know from dealing with social problems, usually when the parents, they get older, not too much of the children want to carry the responsibility. Especially if they have a territorial nagging wife. If you have a territorial nagging wife, it's not going to help you much to be that disobedient son to your parents and have him in your household, and everybody in the household will have a peace and tranquility. So usually it ends up doing what? Try to compromise. I'm not talking about right and wrong here. I'm talking about what's happening in life. So mom or dad, you can stay here couple weeks and go to my brother for a week or two and the other one for a week or two and keep the cycle going so at least you can change and see the grand and all of that. Okay, I have no comment on what you're saying here. Okay, I'm not going to say any comment about that. But the problem is that I have him right now. So everybody trying to shove the law to the other. But in this case that I'm having, everybody is fighting for having the mom home. The dispute between the brother, no, she is not coming to your home. She comes and she's going to come with me. And maybe she's going to spend only overnight. I'm coming to pick her up tomorrow. I said, Allahu Akbar. This is the way the children are supposed to be or otherwise. There is no, you know, there is no reason. These are the children that they are eager to maintain and to keep and look after their parents. And they're all fighting with each other. And I asked myself, if that's the case, and if they are that devotion and that sincere, why there is a problem? Why they are coming? Why they are asking for a solution? And I just got to pick up the phone and call each single one of them separately. And unfortunately, the answer it was just about the same, almost word for word. We work long hours. We don't make too much money. We need somebody to look after the children. Or by another word, we need a good babysitter. How far you want to go in abusing your parents? How far you want to go in abusing them? You want a 60 and 70 years old go and sit down and keep putting up with the nagging, putting up with the changing diaper, putting up with the cry of the child in the middle of the night, just because you and your wife, they want to take that load off because you work long hours? She did or he did a long hour too. And that's their time to be honored and to be relaxed and to be looked after. But by another word, I don't want to even say the word. You have that, you have it in your heart to use it as a free babysitters. This is how you say thank you to your parents? This is how it works? No, wallahi, this is not how it works. Every single one of us know better. No better. Every single soul in the person in the family should know that there is no such a thing called a free lunch. Every single one member of the family has to know that he has a responsibility and has right. And he is or she is responsible for the affairs of others. We, another set of problem it comes when they are adult, when they grown up, and now economically they can fly on their own. Because they've been raised, especially males, been raised to be served. What I want, I got. That's my right. Serving me and getting me what I want, that is my right. Now, if I want this, and you don't want this, or you cannot do that to me, you are a bad father. Or you are a bad mother. No one told me that I'm responsible for the overall affair of the family. When I have a need, I have to look at everybody's need also, and what the available means. I have to look at it as one unit, not one person. Who gonna teach that? I don't, for all I know, there is no courses teaching that or no books teaching that. That's the attitude of the parents. The principle that the Quran and the Sunnah enforcing in building the family. Everyone is responsible. So when the son or the daughter grow up and they are working and making money, it is not mine now, and I'm going to help you when I can. No. You're still responsible for all the affairs of this family. That everybody is strong and in his own and her own, and they can fly, and you are still committed to the affairs of your parents. I have no reason to see 60 and 70 years old, male or female, going to work while they are sick. And they have adult, and they all working, and they all making money. There is a really big issue here, a big problem. You have to go through, if you want to raise a good family, you have to go through the three stages that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicate. La'ibuhum fi sab. Be very friendly with them for sin. Wa'allimuhum fi sab. And teach them and discipline for another seven. Wasahibuhum fi sab. Have the companion, that means teach them how to take decisions and be the counselor for them. Be the guide for them. But don't be the one who control and tell them what to do. Teach them how to fly, but within your guidance. And after that, they are on their own. Because after that, either the job was done right or it was not done right. And too late. Adhere to those. And those have to be a milestone. Each one of those stages in the psychology of the child, it has a meaning. And subhanallah, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. What Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not coming out of his wit. It is coming a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to what is best for the mankind. Shura. We think it's shura between the members or the leadership outside the family. Like in a social order or in a government, formal or informal. But reality, no. The shura is the seed of it. The all the skills of it, the mechanic of it, it's supposed to be learned at home. And we have one of two ways. We have either a dictatorship attitude, do and don't, regardless what is the stage, or what are the circumstances, or what is the situation, and I'm expecting, as a reaction, a full obedience. I'm expecting full obedience as a head of a household. Who said you are right all the time? Who said the other people don't have a brain? And they have a different views. Why we don't sit down and listen to each other? And what is the best for everybody? We collectively take a decision about it. And somebody will take a decision as long as it is not forbidden. The area of forbidden, nobody go there and nobody cross there. There is no shura there. There is no dictatorship there. There is only forbidden and lawful there. Nobody go down there. But you have to open up and to recognize their humanity. When they help them to build their self-esteem, to be a part of it, to grow up with it, even if what they say doesn't, especially if they are young and inexperienced, it doesn't make any sense. Listen to them. Teach them how to think, how to be charged. They did it wrong this time, maybe next time they're going to be 50% right. After a year or two, they will be okay. But let them, teach them how to take a decision and be responsible for it. And there is no way, other way of applying the shura. And the shura saying what? وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. He did not say وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ. He said وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That means what? Shura, group thinking, group dynamic. Now there is a decision. One will take the decision. وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. I know that that revelation is to Sayyidina Muhammad, and that's what they call خصوص التنزيل عموم التشريع. That means the revelation for a certain incidence, but the legislation for the whole entire nation. The legislation or the solution for this case is for the whole entire nation. You have to take a decision. Once there is a decision, Once the decision is made, that would have to be restricted. Everybody line up and everybody to do it. So the Shura is not democracy. Shura, there is a difference between the Shura and between democracy. And I don't want to make it long, but democracy purely dealing with interest. So it's going to have to be the majority vote. Your interest, you all on one side, I have another interest, and maybe the majority is going to have to vote. That's what they call democracy. But the Shura is different. One of the major differences between the Shura and democracy, Shura in the prime, not to protect the interest, but to protect the principles. To protect what's right. After protecting what's right, let us see the interest. Democracy, pure interest. Shura, protect first the principle, the ethics, the rights, and after that, see the different alternatives that are available, and if they are not forbidden, take whatever the majority would like to have. Major differences in between. Democracy, even with the majority, there is no one can take decision. But the Shura, once it is settled, make a decision and everybody got to apply. Who gonna teach all of that? That is the dynamic that it's supposed to be in the family, and it's supposed to be going on in 24 hours in the life of any Muslim family. Everybody in the family, once the decision has been made, it's you teach them. Once the decision is made, everybody respects it. And we're all going to go through it. And we're all going to go for it. You have to teach them that. Also, in any given family, going to be a certain type of problems. Not every single problem in the family, everyone in the family has to know. Or by another word, you have to have private conversation, private solution to private problems. Private conversation, private solution to private problems. If you have a teenager having a certain problems, there is no reason to have a 5 years old sit down and witness that conversation. If there is a financial crisis to the family, you don't need to get the children involved in it. So there is a kind of a private way of handling a different set of problems that must be adhered to and must apply. Selecting whom you communicate with. And you have to teach the children or the household the guidelines how to select your friends, your colleagues, what are the limitation, who you suppose, or it is okay to go to their homes and it is okay for them to come to our home. When you go down there, how you behave, and when they come to here, to your home, how they behave. All of these things, it's supposed to be clear. Very, very clear. And that is the parents' job, is to teach and to identify. Also, how to deal with the relatives. How to respect the relatives and to be kind to them. And the final thing that I want to like to really emphasize on. Never separate between members of your family based on their gender. In a lot of cases, you end up boys having a certain treatment and the girls, they don't have it. The bottom line, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala خلق الذكر والأنثى وإن سعيكم لشتى. Legislation, the whole entire legislation, three major categories. The first category is dealing with a human being, and the human being does not have a male or female. The right to live, is it a male or female? The right to own, a male or female? There are certain legislation for male and female to accommodate the differences, but not to give superiority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this and created that, so if you can have the life. But that does not mean superiority or inferiority. That simply means خَيْرُكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, the best among you by piety. Can you get somebody like Maryam bint Umran and put it in a scale with the men? Don't waste your time. Or Fatima bint Muhammad رضوان الله عليها? No. So do not separate them between them. And at the same time, do not treat them the same. Do not separate them between them in rights. But when it comes down to differences, don't give them the same. There are, for instance, when you come to issue like privacy. No, privacy is going to have to be enforced. You cannot have the same. You cannot have adult boy and adult girl living in the same room and they say they are brothers and sisters. No, you're going to have to segregate. You're going to have to separate. And that's what Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching us. وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. So, you have to accommodate difference. That does not mean superiority or inferiority. These are a major guidelines that we have to adhere and to have to enforce. If you want to develop the Muslim family, these are the major rules that constitute how we're going to communicate with each other. And how we're going to help each other to be a better Muslim and to be a better obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. Please seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering. Forgive all our sin and all our mistakes and help us to be a better Muslim. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. I want to finish the khutbah by it comes to my head hadith what it says بحسب امرئ من الإثم أن يضيع ما يعود من يعود. There is no sin bigger than the one who is trusted with, which is his family, go straight. Now, we have the knowledge. The question is this, and that goes for every Friday khutbah. You have a lot of good people coming and share with us a lot of good knowledge. But the challenge is this, how much of those knowledge we apply? Are we from one week to the other materializing this knowledge or we don't? Have we tried or we don't? Or we get involved or we get some knowledge in our head and after that everybody go to his merry way. Now the question that I'm bringing to myself and bringing to you today. We have now how to communicate with our families. What are we going to do about it? I don't believe for a second the word too late. And I don't believe for a second for something called impossible. As long as you work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those I can find them out in dictionaries. but not in the heart in a Muslim, not in a Muslim heart. Impossible, the word impossible does not exist. The word too late does not exist. As long as you're still breathing and you have your faculty of thinking, you still can go back with all the love, make two rak'ahs, ask Allah to help you, have your family around you, talk to them, tell them our job is to get together, to help each other to be a better believer, to qualify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. Whatever pass by pass, but let us see how we're gonna come about the future. It is not wise to keep having a starting point. It's not wise at all. But it is very wise to stop where you are, see what you got, and change the direction if you have to accomplish the same goal. It is not wise to keep having a starting point. But it is wise to stop where you are, examine what you have, see what you have, see if what you are doing is going to reach the goal or not. It changes the direction if you have to. And in this case, you will never be alone. And you cannot do it alone. But you have to motivate others to do it with you. And by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before and after, you're going to reach the goal, but you're going to change the rest of the world. And that's what we need to do. If you really love your child, if you really love him, help him or help her. Don't let your love make you accept what you should not accept. I just was talking about red lines. Red lines. Sin in Islam is not by doing the act. And sin in Islam is not by helping to do the act. But sin in Islam is to see the wrongdoing and you don't act. And you be silent about it. Al-rida bil-kufr, kufr. Al-rida bil-fisq, fisq. Al-rida bil-zulm, zulm. That means, al-rida bil-kufr, if you accept blasphemy, you commit blasphemy. If you accept tyrant, you commit a tyrant. If you accept wrongdoing, by not challenging that wrongdoing, you are doing wrong. Dynamic group, dynamic, you cannot just turn around and you think you are doing it right. You cannot do it. You cannot do it right by your own. You have to do it together. And you have to start it also together. You're going to see challenges. That's what the life is all about. That's what we're going to get paid for anyway. Do you think we're going to get paid for doing what the angel is doing better than us? Angel can pray better than us. Their devotion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing them as لا يسأمون. They never lose control and they never feel bored. That's a high level of purity right there. Allah created you to accept the challenges, to move the challenges, to challenge the challenges, to change the challenges, and to develop a character that can say, La ilaha illallah. No one to be obeyed but Allah. That's what you're going to get paid for. Fasting, prayer, zakah, hajj, all of that to do what? Vitamins, gas station, to refill, to empower you in your trip to do, to develop this character. The character that it will do then. So please don't turn your back on your family. And don't come and say they are old now and they have their own and they can't know. Put your head, Ya Bunay, la tushrik billah. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. If you have your child 40 years or 4 years, If you know that the food that he's going to eat is going to kill him, you're going to say he's a mature adult and let him eat it? No. The minimum thing you can do, the minimum you can do if you cannot change anything, let them know what they are doing wrong is not acceptable and will not be acceptable and will not be tolerated. That's the minimum that you can say. But you have to prepare for that. You have to work hard for that. You have to make them understand. You have to share with them knowledge, share with them experience, listen to them, do the whole thing. I hope today can be a good starting point, very good starting point, to reclaim our family and to reconcile our family. So we will come up with the family that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like to look at. The family, every single member in it, have his own personality, has his own character, knows what he or she is doing, and inshallah qualified for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. Please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering, forgive all our sin and all our mistakes, all our shortcomings, and help us to have the keen understanding to the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply in our life so we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and in the hereafter we'll be inshallah in peace and will be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. عباد الله قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.